Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
And welcome, responsible delinquents, to another solo episode with your boy on the More Than Fitness Podcast. Hope everyone is having a wonderful day, night, morning, whenever it is that you're listening to this. It is currently Super Bowl Sunday at the time of recording this. So for whichever team that you hoped won, I hope they won. And if you don't give a shit, that's cool too. So hello, happy to be back on the podcast again. Like I told you guys last time, I am going to try and keep a consistent cadence of at least once every 2 weeks with the podcast. I'm going to try and keep that promise for sure. Ideally, I would love to do one once every single week, but like I told you, I want to make sure that I keep them value packed, right? I want to make sure that I only come on here whenever I have something good for you guys to learn about or something to share that I think would be valuable for you guys. So I'm going to try and keep doing that. I've just been working on some stuff in the background for the Responsible Delinquent Empire. So I promise you, this is for the best, but I want to keep the More Than Fitness podcast train going because I enjoy the podcast and I appreciate you guys listening. And I think that we are still building. I feel like we're still very early in the More Than Fitness podcast days. I've produced hundreds of episodes already, but I still feel like I'm getting the hang of it. So thank you guys for being here, whether it's your first time or over your 100th time listening to my angelic voice. Thank you for being here. With that said, today we are going to talk about what should you track each day for optimal fat loss, if anything at all. All right, so real quick, I just want to give you an overview of what we're going to discuss. First thing, we're going to talk about who needs to track, right? And the next one, we're going to talk about why track in the first place. After that, I'll give you my recommendations for practical takeaways. So make sure you listen to the very end, and I will give you some practical takeaways that will allow you to track just enough to make sure that you're effective and so that you can avoid not tracking anything at all and just kind of shooting from the hip with some of your fitness goals. And that's what I'll get into in just a second. And right before we get into the first part of this, I just wanted to say, I want to remind you guys to rate and review the podcast. Still figuring it out too, apparently. Rate and review the podcast. It's very helpful. It helps me spread the word of the podcast. It helps our name pop up in the rankings. It helps us build the Responsible Delinquent Empire. So either on Apple Podcasts, please, if you haven't yet, rate and review there. Make sure you're subscribed. And then also on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, I think they have reviews and stuff now. So if you could review there, that would also be super helpful. Excuse me. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into the very first part of this. So who needs to track? Because not everybody needs to track. Maybe you don't need to track. I am actually in a position where I am not tracking anymore. However, I have spent years and years and years tracking many things that have now allowed me to not track. But besides that point, I am also not tracking because I don't have an active fitness goal in this moment, right? I'm not really trying to gain muscle. I'm not trying to really lose fat. I mean, of course, don't get me wrong. If those things happen, that'd be great. But fitness is not a super high priority right now where I actually have outcome-driven goals on a regular basis, right? And so maybe you're in that position too, and that's fine. But if you're somebody who does have an active fitness goal and you are actively trying to lose weight, and maybe you've been trying to lose weight for a long time, or you've been trying to gain muscle for a long time, or both, then it might make sense for you to at least spend about 90 days going all in with this stuff. Because if you're somebody who has been like, oh, I've tried everything, I've tried this, I've tried that, nothing's really working, I would bet you haven't tried tracking both your diet and your exercise very specifically for at least an 8-week period, maybe even 90 days, right? I think that it's crucial to spend some time past the weekends, right? Because I know that weekends can be hard too for people, but spend some time tracking this stuff so that you can get an understanding of what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And I'll definitely get into that more here in just a second. But for the most part, you need to track if you have an active fat loss or weight loss goal, right? It's just, you need to track something. I'm not saying that you have to be, a bodybuilder and weigh out every gram of food and everything you drink and hit your macros perfectly every single day. That's not what I'm saying. Although that could be, you know, that could be something that interests you if you want to get the best results. And that's definitely a possibility. There's definitely a spectrum with this, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. But the last thing I wanted to touch on this this topic, right? So who needs to track? This is also, I feel like it's important for me to mention that if you have any type of eating disorder currently, or you have in the past, or you have disordered eating habits, right? Then maybe tracking is not for you. There are other ways to go about things. There's other ways to do it. It's too much to talk about on this episode, but I think that is worth mentioning that maybe if you are that person, tracking at least very meticulously might do more harm than good. Okay, and then the last thing is on scale weight tracking, because a lot of people are very hesitant about this, and I understand that it can cause a lot of issues for people. Not everybody needs to weigh themselves every single day. However, there has been some pretty solid research that shows people who weigh themselves more frequently typically manage their weight loss better. So they tend to lose more weight, and they also tend to keep off their weight over a longer period of time. And it makes sense, right? Whenever you think about it, because they're just more aware of what's happening. And so whenever I said I don't track anything at all, I actually do track one thing, and that is my scale weight. I don't do it every single morning, but I do it occasionally to maybe like a couple times a week, or at least once or twice a week, just to make sure I have some type of feedback mechanism to make sure that I keep myself in check, right? And that's what it does help, right? If I get on the scale, I know kind of my average set point. I kind of know my average weight that I stick around. And I know, okay, maybe I need to dial things in a little bit more, right? That's usually the feedback mechanism that helps for me. I also think the last thing I want to say on the scale weight stuff is that there's a pithy little saying that I saw. It's like, what you deny of yourself becomes your new prison, right? And so people tend to not want to weigh themselves because it kind of keeps their progress or lack thereof in the gray area, right? If it keeps your progress foggy, it kind of hides you from the potential disappointment that you could have if you're not making progress as well as you think you are, especially if you're trying really hard and then you step on the scale, you're excited to see that weight drop, and then it doesn't drop, and then you get discouraged, and then you just get this feedback loop of, oh, I don't want to weigh myself anymore because it just brings me negative emotions, right? And I understand that, and I empathize with it. However, I think that the longer you continue to do that, the more you give the scale power over you. And I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but for a lot of people, you not weighing yourself is actually giving the scale power over you. And so what I would recommend instead is to start off doing it a little bit more consistently, and also understanding why the scale is doing what it's doing. Because whenever you educate yourself, and this is what I have to do with a lot of clients that come to work with me, that's one of the biggest things, at least over time, right? Because they're going to have scale fluctuations and things like this. And it's my job as a coach to reassure them that, hey, this is just data points. This is just one data point. The scale is just one tool in our toolbox that we use to measure progress over time. Albeit it is an important one, but whenever you understand that there are going to be fluctuations based off of tons of different things, right? So based off of your salt intake, based off your water intake, based off your stress, based off your inflammation, maybe from training and soreness, based off your sleep, your menstrual cycle, there's tons of different things that go into your weight fluctuations. And the quicker that you learn to understand it and use it as a tool to just simply give you feedback, the more you're going to be able to use it to your advantage and get results more quickly. And then you're going to be able to take the power away from that weight scale. And I highly recommend that you try to figure that out. I have a few different mini-sodes and episodes in the past about that if you are curious on that topic. But just remember, what you deny of yourself becomes your new prison. And obviously that can go way deeper than just the weight scale, but I did like that answer, because whenever we try and restrict ourselves of certain things, it tends to only make things harder on us, and as opposed to understanding it, accepting it, and learning how to use it to our advantage, or you know, forget about it and try something else, right? But being proactive about it is very important. All right, I'm going to take a sip, and then we're going to move into why track in the first place. Okay, why track in the first place? I've kind of just touched on it a little bit, but the main thing comes down to you don't just want to be throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, right? This is the problem that people run into whenever they're like, they're trying to just be more dogmatic. They're trying to be non-nuanced in a very nuanced discussion whenever it comes to diet and exercise. So they want to see, a chocolate bar. And they're like, okay, it's a chocolate bar. Is that good or bad for me, right? It's either a yes or a no. That's what they think. However, there can be certain situations, like an athlete maybe who just ran a big marathon who needs quite a bit of calories. Maybe they have another race coming up later on that day, or maybe you're somebody who's exercising twice per day, right? It's like this is a situation where after that big long race, maybe they need a big influx of calories and carbohydrates and also salt. There's going to be salt in the chocolate bar too. Right? They need some type of energy dense food that can be very quick and it can give them quick energy so that they can perform better in a shorter amount of time. So in that case, a chocolate bar could be just fine for that person, right? Of course, there's other options and things like that, but to say that a chocolate bar is always bad, or to say that sugar is always bad, or that carbs are always bad, or that fats are always bad, it's just not true, honestly. And there's more nuance to that. And so the thing I think that tracking is so important is because you have an understanding of what you're doing, and then you can, after you track these things, you can notice patterns and you can change certain variables one at a time. You can be more methodical with your approach as opposed to just saying, I'm going to cut out carbs and then hope for the best. This is what happens because a lot of people will go on keto or they'll go on some type of fad diet and then they'll do it for a certain period of time and then it'll work. And then they're all of a sudden like, oh, okay, it's because I cut out carbs are the reason why I'm losing a bunch of weight. And it's like, yes, it is because you cut out carbs, but it's because of all the carbohydrates, the calorie dense carbohydrates that you were probably consuming, and also fats and everything. It's the calories is the point, right? So just because you take away a whole food group and then you drop your calories down, that is what facilitated the weight loss. It wasn't just because it was from carbohydrates. If they would have dropped the same amount of calories that they did from carbs, from fats, it likely would have had the same exact result because the calories are the key, not the carbohydrates. But if they didn't track and they were just like, oh, I'm just going to do this one thing. And then, but the thing is like, If you have just a normal standard diet, right, where you are eating all proteins, carbs, and fats, right, and then all of a sudden you go go low carb and you take carbs out of your diet, right, it's like that seems like it would only be one thing, that one variable that you're changing, but it's not just necessarily one variable that you're changing. Yes, you're taking out carbohydrates, but then you're also taking out sweets, you're taking out a bunch of other baked goods, you're taking out just a bunch of shit in general that could also potentially affect your weight loss. And so it's just the problem with not tracking anything is that you're guessing and changing different variables all at the same time doesn't give us information so that we can continue to make progress over the long term. Right. That's kind of the biggest thing. There's a comedian that I follow, Brendan Schaub, and he is constantly dieting, and they talk about it on the podcast. He's constantly doing some different type of fad diet. He's changing constantly, going to different things. I think he's doing carnivore right now. and it's just so interesting to me that he's done this for years too. He's just constantly done this. And if he would just take some time to track, because I know he's talked shit about counting calories and counting macros and things like that. Like, oh, that's too tedious. It's always so interesting when people talk about counting things and tracking things as being too tedious, yet they've been yo-yo dieting for years. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're saying that tracking your food for 90 days or tracking your calories for 90 days is too tedious. And instead, you're going to choose the route that feels like it's not the opportunity cost isn't as high, but it's much, much higher actually, because you're just guessing and throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And that's just not a logical, methodical process that is going to bring you results over time, right? And so that can be the problem with these things, that you need some type of systematic approach to help you with this. And this is why whenever people come to me to work with me, they're like, I just have them focus on a few things and I have them do that every single day for weeks on end, and their consistency ramps up and they're nailing the basics and they're doing that day in and day out. And then magically what happens, they start to reach their goal. They start to actually make progress on these things because they're not just trying these different things. Oh, this week I'm going to try paleo. Next week I'm going to try keto. This week I'm doing, you know, Peloton. You know, it's all these different things. It's like, no, there is a method to these things. There is a science behind this stuff. And if you do it methodically and you track things and you focus on these certain key levers that you can pull over time, it's like, we know that you're going to more often than not be successful, right? And so this is actually a good plug for the last podcast that I did on the first principles of fat loss. So make sure you go back and listen to that if you have not. Okay, yeah. There's also a spectrum for how diligently you track and the results that you're going to get because of that. So I'm going to get this sip. Okay, so like I said, there's a spectrum that's correlated between how much you track and how closely you track and the type of results that you're going to get. So back in my bodybuilding days, whenever I competed in drug tested bodybuilding, and I did my competition, I had to diet for, I don't know, I think it was about 22 weeks or something like that. And I had to track every single food that I put in my mouth. Every gram of food, I had to weigh it out. And every liquid, everything that I ate, I had to track. Every workout that I did, I had to track. I had to track my weight every single day. And now, am I saying that you should do this? No, absolutely not. But whenever I had a goal that where fitness was basically my highest priority within this time period, I was tracking as much as possible so that I could get as much data to understand and to give back to my coach so that they could interpret it and understand, okay, he's eating this much per day, he's getting this many steps, he's sleeping like this, his stress is like this, he's knocking out his workouts. They know, okay, if all of these variables say this, the next move is X, Y, and Z, right? This is my job as a coach. It's to understand that what my clients are doing on a regular basis, making sure they're giving me enough data and feedback. So feedback in the sense of objective feedback. So with the scale weight, the food that they're eating, et cetera, but also subjective feedback. I want to know how they're feeling, how their mood is, how their stress is, all these different things. I take all these into account, and then that is going to allow me to look at all that and then be like, okay, our next best step is this, right? And so with this spectrum of things that you can track, maybe you don't want to get the absolute best and quickest and fastest results and also sacrifice as much as I did with my bodybuilding show, because that's the other part of this spectrum, is that if you want the quickest and fastest results, that's great, but you have to understand the expectations and the sacrifice that comes with that. So you have kind of that over here on the far side of the spectrum, and on the complete opposite side of that spectrum would be like, you know, not doing anything at all, not tracking anything, staying sedentary, etc. Right? That's going to be on the other side of the spectrum, where you can basically, yes, you have all the freedom and flexibility in the world and you don't have to sacrifice anything, but you're not going to get any results at all. And so what you want to do is figure out, where do you fall along that spectrum? What expectations are you willing to set and what sacrifices are you willing to make to reach these goals that are important to you? It's basically like, how important are they to you? And there's no wrong answers with this. You just need to make sure that you're not bullshitting yourself. You need to make sure that you're committing to that process. And of course, this can be dynamic. This can change over time. However, the thing that you don't want to have is you don't want to be putting in lackluster effort and then expecting, you know, super fast progress, right? That's just where we want to make sure that those lines aren't blurred and that your expectations match the reality of the amount of work that you're willing to put in. That is super important. Managing those expectations are huge, And that's going to allow you to actually understand, okay, I'm making this rate of progress over time. And so that's about in line with what I was thinking and about in line with the efforts that I'm putting forth on a daily basis. And so that is also super important. So why track in the first place? The main thing is that you just want to have some type of system in place to be like, okay, I've been doing this. I'm going to change this one variable. I'm going to see what happens. Then you analyze what happens. Then you change another variable, or you do, or maybe you don't change anything at all because what you're doing is working, and then that's great, right? But what you don't want to do is make sure that you're changing everything at once, and then you have no idea what is actually giving you the progress that you're looking for. And of course, if you're struggling with this on your own, this is where it may make sense to outsource this to someone else, like a coach. And if you do want to work with me, by the way, you can apply. There's a link in the description to apply for one-to-one coaching with me if you want to see how I do this with clients and how I can do it with you. Okay, the last thing that we're going to talk about is what I recommend as a balanced middle ground to my clients. Okay, so you have, based off of everything that I have just said, right, there's going to be a spectrum on where you fall on that, like how strict do you want to be with your tracking, right? I think first it's important to figure out where you fall along that spectrum, and then you're going to be able to manage your expectations from there, and then you can move on to this next part. Sorry guys, my voice is a little scratchy. Happens sometimes. So what I recommend as a middle ground for my clients is tracking a few different things. On the nutrition side of things, one of the things that I have them track is going to be their calorie range on a regular basis. So their daily calorie, I give them a daily calorie range, but then I also give them a weekly calorie range. So a weekly calorie budget. So just think about, they have a certain budget for the entire week. And then throughout the week on certain days, they can try and hit their calorie range, and then that takes away from their overall weekly budget. And how they divvy that out throughout the week doesn't matter as much as long as they're hitting their weekly calorie budget on a regular basis. This gives them enough flexibility to have some days where maybe they eat a little bit less, some days they eat a little bit more. For example, Monday through Thursday, a lot of my clients will be pretty strict with their adherence, and that's great. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we give them a little bit more calories, and that allows them to still stick within their weekly calorie budget for the week and have a little bit more flexibility on days like the weekend. But calories are going to matter most for weight loss. So that's one of the main drivers that we're going to focus on over time, as far as one of the indicators of if we're making progress or not, is like how many days per week are you hitting within that calorie range? And then how many weeks out of the month are you staying within your weekly calorie budget, right? If you're sticking within those pretty consistently, my guess is that you would be making pretty good progress. And here's the thing. If you aren't making good progress, we know why. For the most part, we know why. We at least can have a very educated guess as to why you're not making progress. And maybe that just means the calories that we gave you are a little bit too high, and we just need to take away a little bit more. But we wouldn't be able to make that informed, educated decision without having the data. That's what's important, right? That's why tracking is so important, is because we can look at that and make educated guesses on going forward. Okay, the next one is going to, for nutrition, is going to be a daily protein minimum. So of course, you guys know protein is going to be very important for building muscle, but it's also very important while dieting because it keeps you fuller for longer. It is the most satiating macronutrient of the three, of carbs, fats, and proteins. Some people think it's fats, but it's actually protein. So that's the reason why it's important to keep protein high, is to fuel our muscle growth and muscle building, but also for keeping us full on a regular basis, on a daily basis while we're dieting. So yeah, give them a daily protein minimum. And how you dictate that is going to be a little bit more individual. And one of my best recommendations is either going to be like 0.8 grams per pound of body weight but it also depends on how much protein are you eating right now. If you're if you start tracking your food for the next 2 weeks and you're only eating like 60 grams of protein per day, but then 0.8 grams per pound for you is like 160 grams of protein per day, it doesn't make sense to try and add in 100 extra grams of protein per day, because you're probably going to end up failing after a short period of time. So just see how much you're eating and then try and eat a little bit more than that until you can work up to that 0.8 grams. Okay. And then the last one for nutrition is going to be a daily fiber minimum, right? So this is going to be super important because fiber is found in what? It's found in the most nutritious foods for the most part that you can eat as far as nutrient density per calorie. It's going to be foods like fruits, vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are going to be the two biggest ones as far as vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, all these other good things that are found in foods. By making sure that you hit a fiber minimum, by making sure my clients hit a fiber minimum on a daily basis, I know, okay, they're not just getting all their calories from protein shakes and Pop-Tarts and butter or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why the calorie range is important for making sure that they hit their portions are under control and their total calories for the day are in check. The total energy that they're consuming is in check. That'll elicit the fat loss. The protein minimum is going to make sure that they're eating enough to support growth and to stay fuller for longer. And then the fiber minimum is going to be important because it's going to make sure that they're getting those calories and that protein and the other macronutrients, the carbs and fats, from mostly nutritious food sources. If I give them a fiber minimum and they hit that and they don't use a fiber supplement, because that's obviously a question sometimes, like, can we use a fiber supplement to hit the daily fiber minimum? And I'm like, you can take a fiber supplement, but you can't include it in the minimum because that defeats the purpose of the fiber minimum, right? We want to make sure that we're eating sufficient fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, and having a fiber minimum makes sure that we do that. And another note is on these minimums, I give them minimums because it's much less rigid than saying, hey, you need to eat 60 grams of protein per day, right? Or you need to eat just 20 grams of fiber per day. Or it's the reason why I give a calorie range as well, because I'm just like, hey, just hit 1700 calories every single day. That's that's going to be a little bit harder for people. So for nutrition, those are going to be the three main things that are going to be the most important. So the daily calorie range, daily protein minimum, and a daily fiber minimum. Okay. And then as far as exercise, for the most part, it's going to be tracking your main lifts. So just your strength on your main lifts. So the compound lifts, the big exercises that you do every single day, the multi-joint lifts, things like bench press, squat, deadlift, overhead press, just kind of those bigger movements, making sure that you're getting stronger on those over time is something that we track. And then another kind of optional thing that might be important would be like a step count. So a daily movement count, I think, would be also kind of important for you to have in mind. Just how much activity are you getting on a regular basis? And this is where having a step count can be very important to do that. And I found that these couple things is enough to... It's going to be like the 80-20 rule, right? You focus on these things for the most part. Most of your results are going to come from tracking these things. And so if I can make sure that my clients are consistently hitting those more days than they're not, then they're probably going to be making progress on a regular basis. And if they're not, again, we have the data to check and to analyze and to make an informed decision going forward, as opposed to just throwing something at the wall and seeing what sticks. That is why tracking is so important. Okay, and last thing, if you need a starting point for all this stuff, I highly, highly, highly recommend my Frictionless Fat Loss email course. Man, I am struggling at the end of this podcast because my voice is going, so give me one sec. I'm going to take a drink of water, and then we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for bearing with me. But if you need a starting point with this, download my Frictionless Fat Loss email course. It's a 7-day jumpstart email course on everything that I just mentioned, right? If you need all of my best stuff kind of packaged in a 7-day crash course on what you need to know to make fat loss as easy as possible, download that for free in the description. Yeah, I think that's it. Again, rate, review, subscribe. Thank you guys so much leave a comment on YouTube. I forget, this always goes every different places. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's everything. it's time to go watch the Super Bowl, I guess. So as always, thank you guys for listening and for watching. See ya. And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes, and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.